and welcome back to the Prescott Arts Beat. We have been talking to JT Tanous, former host on KJZA 89.5 FM of the Prescott Arts Beat. And JT has, well, he's been able to get back to us from a distant location in northern Arizona, and he's been trying to kind of explain what life is like where he's at now. Let's go back to our interview and check it out.
Yep. Now, tell me, the kind of activities she's reporting about, the kind of things that are being sponsored on this desolate island in the middle of no place, can you tell us about some of those so we can compare them to what we have locally?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, just like in Prescott, in terms of the people in the community and on a grassroots level, there's just such a passion for what's going on in the arts and culture realm. And right now, the month of September and in the fall is one of the best times here, as I know it was in Prescott, or I imagine it still is, of course. I shouldn't talk in past tense, but I just assume I'm never coming back. In fact, this weekend, there's so much going on, and in one weekend we have a huge open studios tour. About 100 different artists in the community are participating. And it's a self-guided tour. They've got brochures all over the community with maps and everything. 100 different local artists are opening up their studios to patrons. That's going on. We've got the Picket in the Pines Bluegrass Festival. They've got a headliner this year, David Grissom. So
that's pretty amazing.
It is amazing. It's only their second year doing a bluegrass festival in Flagstaff. They never had one here before that. You know, like other communities all around us up in Colorado, even Prescott's had one for 25 years. This one's brand new, and already they're bringing in major headlining talent. So that's happening all weekend.
Now, what do you think the key was to getting Dave Grissom in for something so new?
Well, first of all, the music community here is very in touch. The thing about Flagstaff is it's kind of on the way to everything else. So a lot of major acts come through Flagstaff on their way out to the West Coast or on their way back from the West Coast. So there's always been opportunities here to bring in some real name talent kind of on their way. And in that regard, at, you know, affordable rates for a smaller town, that's something that's sort of more out of the way might have difficulty doing. So we've got this great musical community of people who are intact that way. That's one of the big things. And the other one is that they were starting from scratch, so they were able to sort of let their inhibitions go and say, what do we want to make this thing become? Let's get a big headlining act every year and make this festival something that, you know, people are going to want to come to from all over the Southwest, and, you know, not just something here that's big locally. So it was a combination of sort of who you know and then having the freedom to, you know, not have to tie into your own tradition.
Now, let me ask you another question along those same lines. It seems like many times when I see flyers for the Orpheum Theater, which was converted over to live shows maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Right. I often see string bands and other stalwarts of bluegrass. Is that become a focal point for that music up there, or is it just part of the chain?
I would say that there's a real love in this community for bluegrass. There's a particular group, in fact, the group in town that is doing the Bluegrass Festival. They're called the Flagstaff Friends of Traditional Music. And that particular organization, with their name and their mission being focused on traditional music, acoustic music, bluegrass music, that sort of focus certainly ties them into the world of bluegrass. So there's a lot of love for that. But there's a lot of other things happening as well. I mean, Henry Rollins is coming this week.
Henry Rollins.
Yeah.
Henry Rollins.
Yeah.
I've seen Henry Rollins like 12 times in my life.
Well.
He rocks.
If you could only find yourself stranded on a deserted island about 7,000 feet above sea level in northern Arizona next to a big giant mountain, if you found yourself in that community, then you could probably see him for time number 13.
I got to tell you, though, never, ever, ever go to see Henry Rollins, with it, whether singing or whether doing his spoken word stuff. Never go with your wife or girlfriend if they really dug either Black Flag, his band from before, or Henry Rollins' band, or his spoken word albums, because you'll be standing there next to her and she will be watching Henry on the stage, and he is both sensitive and powerful, and she looks at you and she looks at him, and then she looks at you and she realizes he could crush your pathetic little, you know, chubby boy head between his two powerful, you know, eyelashes. And it's not a good comparison.
Wow, I didn't realize that you suffered from a negative Henry Rollins comparison envy.
Well, people used to get us mixed up, but that was many, many pounds ago.
Right. You know, so Henry Rollins is coming here, and there's a lot of other sort of big acts that come through Flagstaff. It's really refreshing, but sometimes it goes a little bit over the edge and into sort of a surrealism, and I think that's part of, you know, being trapped on this island. There are weird electromagnetic forces at work. In fact, and I don't know exactly how they pulled this off, because last I heard he had died, but next week, or maybe it's in a couple of weeks, Jerry Seinfeld's coming here.
Jerry Seinfeld's so not dead.
I don't know how they pulled that off, but there again, you know, maybe they pieced together old footage or something from the old sitcom, and they're just going to do it like some kind of laser show on stage. I have no idea, but I mean, that's the kind of weird environment I'm living in.
Yeah, Jerry Seinfeld's not dead.
He's not?
No. His career is, but not Jerry.
Oh, okay. That's where I must have made the mistake. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank God for him and his family.
As I believe, what is his wife's name? Rosh Hashanah? I don't know them that well. So it sounds like there's a plethora of activities. I know the Orpheum. What are other venues around there that people, if they were going to blaze up there and catch a show, what should they be looking out for a place to hang?
Well, it's funny that you asked that, because I happen to be working at one of those. When we got trapped here on the island, we sort of had a Lord of the Flies experience, where, you know, a pecking order sort of was put in place between the tribe, and the clear leaders sort of came out. Of course, I was not one of them. And I was immediately led by Pitchfork. Of course, nobody knows where they found pitchforks on a deserted island. But I was led by Pitchfork to end up having to work every day at this place called the Coconino Center for the Arts. And this place has a 4,000 square foot gallery in it that regular art exhibitions happen in, and there's a real nice, high quality acoustic venue, a theater, about 200 seat indoor amphitheater that's just sweet for concerts. And in my slavery for the Klan, so to speak, is that I have to work there every day and make sure that there are activities and whatnot happening there. So that's one of the other venues in town.
Now, that size stage that I think what you're describing there, that we don't really have anything like that in Prescott, right?
You know, I can't think of anything that approaches it in Prescott, that sort of 200-seat theater, that more intimate performances. It's almost like a black box, but not quite. It's a little bigger than that. It's a little different than that. But there's nothing like that in Prescott. You know, Prescott has the Elks Theater, and it has Yavapai College Performance Hall. Here we have a variety of venues as well over at Northern Arizona University. Audrey Auditorium. I don't know how many people it seats, but I would say it's probably in the realm of 1,100, which is what the Empire College Performance Hall is. And then we've got the Orpheum, which I guess could be comparable to the Elks, but no, for something like the Center, that fills a niche here that I don't think is being filled in Prescott.
And what kind of performances come out of it? Because I've always thought that the availability and the type of venues that are out there tend to craft what it becomes available in them, just because people, you know, they change what they do to suit what they where they can be seen. What do you folks see in there in that particular theater in terms of performance?
Well, in the Coconino Center for the Arts Theater, specifically, one of the things that's starting later this month is a classical guitar concert series. We have six different acts coming in throughout the season. Couple of local acts, and four of the acts are from all over the world. We have a Chinese woman named Shufei Yang who's coming to perform, who's, you know, she's gotten positive reviews all over the world, from the London Times to the New York Times to the LA Times. She's coming to Flagstaff to perform in our little 200-seat theater. It's really kind of neat. But the brilliance of these shows is it's literally just one person and a guitar, and it's 100% acoustic. Now, when you have that kind of performance happening, playing classical guitar, really your best bet is to be in a smaller atmosphere as close to the artist as possible. And that's one of the special things about the Center for the Arts. There's not a bad seat in the house amongst the 200 seats. Wherever you're sitting, you feel almost like you're in a living room hanging out with the artist who's performing for you. So it's pretty sweet in that regard. That's one of the things that's happening. And then there's some other sort of local youth performances that have been happening in there. One of the things that we're looking at doing for next year is a poetry series where spoken word performances are done in that space, which is, again, it's also another really ideal space for that. So that's some of the things in the interim that are happening there. But we're also going to do some bluegrass shows. So some larger scale bands will be performing in there as well. Mostly music right now. But that's just right now.
What have you seen in terms of the other arts?
In the center?
Yeah.
Well, as of right now, there's not a whole lot happening. We're working in that regard and kind of pushing in that direction. But, you know, when you're trapped on a deserted island, you can't just, you know, you can't just pull up a West African drumming group out of nowhere or get a Shakespeare group out of nowhere. So, you know, the locals are practicing hard. And we're going to start to develop that stuff here for 2008.
Now, in a space like that, are these performances where people pay, or are they just open to the community? What kind of culture is there?
Oh, it's a little bit of both. You know, the classical guitar series I talked about is definitely a paying series. Tickets range anywhere from $10 to $20, depending on the artist. And then there's a lot of other things that happen that, you know, are free and open to the public. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Now, beyond the performance art space, you were talking about some other things that this center provides. In terms of the interaction in the gallery space between the artistic community and the venue that you're talking about, how does that happen? How do those, because in Prescott, you know, we have a little gallery space that's non-commercial gallery space. Prescott College, Yavapai College have some displays, even some merchants, you know, display artwork. But we don't really have a ready conduit for community artists to come to a space for juried shows or whatever. Is there something like that in the Coconino Center or no?
Yes. The Center for the Arts, it's one of the great things that I've really loved since being trapped on this deserted island here in this place that some people are calling Flagstaff. Flagstaff, that's what it's called.
So what the kids are calling it?
Yes, yes. That's what the youngins are calling it. No, it's got this 4,000 square foot gallery space. It's just huge, and really enables us to do some things that that you don't get to see in a lot of other galleries. And on top of it, it's a community space. This building, the Center for the Arts, is owned by Coconino County, and they contract with the agency that I'm, you know, in slavitude to run this center. And so it's very much a community center. That's the focus. Right now we have an art show with over 100 different local Flagstaff artists. I mentioned the Open Studios. Everybody who's participating in Open Studios has a piece of work on display in the current art exhibition in our gallery space right now. So it affords us opportunity to open up a very grassroots-type space where a lot of local artists can showcase their wares. And then we also have the flexibility to move and bring in some larger scale shows that that are difficult to have in smaller spaces. One of the things we're doing in 2008 is the Museum of Northern Arizona is partnering with us. They have at the museum over 900 Navajo weavings, Navajo textiles, in their collection. And the museum doesn't have a lot of space to display them, so they sit in storage for large part. And we're going to bring them out in an exhibition next summer and get as many of them on display as we can in our 4,000 square foot space. So there's not only this opportunity for artists to be able to display in a space, you know, for very reasonable entry fees, you know, $20, $30, things like that. but then on the flip side, it's a gift to the community that we can bring in shows that that are very, very special and can bring out some rare and different pieces that they might not be able to otherwise see. So I feel very fortunate in that regard to be working where I'm working.
Well, you know, would you just...
Despite the pitchforks and the whips.
We're going to talk with JT some more. However, first we're going to go to a break, and then we'll come back into our calendar section. After that, we will return for a final section with JT, and in which we will, besides all that he's gone through, put him through Andrew's five big questions. Stay tuned.